Your Mom's a Podcast, comedy specially designed to fit right inside your ears. Written and produced by T. Gregory Argel and Stephanie Lynn Russell.
This week on Bet You Didn't Know That, we take a whimsical look at everyone's favorite incomprehensible TV show.
Holding a special place in our hearts, the television program Happy Town PD ran for 37 seasons from 1992 to 2013. While this may have caused stress and homicidal rage for network programming coordinators, the show's near-constant broadcast schedule brought joy, happiness, and unreasonable excitement to the lives of its many, many devoted fans. Want some coffee?
At one point, the registered membership of the official Happy Town PD fan club exceeded the recorded population of the world. Although that may have resulted in various criminal charges of fraud and money laundering, it doesn't change the fact that the show had universal appeal and international success.
At its peak, the program was so ubiquitous that if you've never actually seen even a single episode, then you have lived a very sheltered life indeed and should hang your head in shame. How dare you even show your face in public, you subject of mockery and ridicule. Want some coffee?
You should switch to decaf. Here's a list of facts about Happy Town PD that only the most dedicated and hardcore fans might possibly be aware of or not.
Many fans believe that the title of the show, Happy Town PD, refers to the police department, although Officer Sven Snortentuten, only police-related character on the program, retired from law enforcement in the second episode and became a reclusive tugboat captain. According to Jeremy Rumrum Jefferson, the head writer for seasons 1 through 18, the PD in the title actually refers to the Peruvian delicatessen, often seen in the background of the many town square scenes. Want some coffee?
The original pilot episode was shot entirely on a cell phone. When the producers realized that it was 1992 and cell phones didn't have cameras yet, the pilot was completely reshot and recast.
The unique visual appeal of the show comes from its mix of live-action animation and something Martha Stewart calls jailhouse decoupage. We did some research to determine exactly what jailhouse decoupage is and discovered that you're better off not knowing.
All of the animated characters were voiced by Nick Nolte while stoned on NyQuil.
The voices for some of the live-action characters were provided by an overfed Pomeranian named Rufus Barkmeister. Want some coffee?
Series star Lyle Hengster, who played handsome Lothario Dirk Harmony, is actually a flamingo.
The show was originally called Rocco, the Sky Nymph, and Wally, but was changed after Donald Trump threatened to sue because he says those are his nicknames for his children and he owns the copyright. Want some coffee?
Every episode in the second season was inspired by entries in Richard Nixon's secret Journal of Bowel Movements. Yes, even the infamous wedding episode.
Richard Nixon's secret Journal of Bowel Movements was much more detailed and judgmental than his public Journal of Bowel Movements, which has been published as a children's book with illustrations by Robert Mapplethorpe. Want some coffee?
While other television programs were doing special musical episodes, Happy Town PD produced an entire musical season. However, due to multiple copyright disputes over the songs used, all of the episodes were broadcast with no audio during the musical numbers. Surprisingly, this led to a significant increase in ratings, and the show was automatically renewed for 10 seasons.
Although fans have been calling for a reunion special ever since the series finale in 2013, none of the cast are available due to an obscure yet legally binding suicide pact written into their original contracts. Want some coffee?
Join us again next week on Bet You Didn't Know That, when we'll be looking at all the things your mom did to make money to pay her way through college.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Neither could she.
Ew. Want some coffee? And now, a dramatic reading of Stanley and the Goose. Stanley watched the bird, and the bird watched Stan. It was a classic standoff between avian and man. He tried and he tried. He tried to get by, but the goose blocked his way, left right low high. Wings spread wide, the birds squawked aloud. Staring each other down, they were drawing a crowd. People whispered and murmured, pointing and gawking. Stanley asked the bird, why? But the goose wasn't talking. It just stood its ground, this fierce foul beast, giving Stanley no quarter, no not in the least. Stan had to get to a meeting, one to make his career, and this confounded goose was a big pain in the rear. Damn, I'm going to be late, Stanley cried in dismay. Honk, honked the goose, meaning I could do this all day. Stan hatched a plan and held the goose in his sight. He kicked dirt in his eyes, feigned left, then dodged right. He ran wide round the bird. He ran for his life. He almost made it too, but then the goose pulled a knife. The crowd gasped in shock. This wasn't the norm. In a man-nature showdown, this really was bad form. "Someone report him," they murmured. "Call in the ref!" But there was not to be done. There was no option left. "This goose poop just got real," thought Stan. It was a fight for survival. He knew he could show no mercy to his armed, feathered rival. Stanley pulled a knife of his own, with a snarl and a frown. Like making a warm winter coat, he would put this goose down. Screaming, "You damned geese! This is the third time this week!" Stanley tried to punch the bird in the mouth, in the bill, in the beak. Then bursting from the crowd, Stan's wife cried for her man. "Stanley! Stanley! 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 Stan! Stan!" "Stan," honked the goose. "Your name's Stanley, not Brad? I thought you were someone else," shrugged the bird. "Sorry, my bad." Stan watched the bird toddle off, and the truth hit him fully. No matter where you go, every goose is a bully. Hello, and welcome back to the Pulsetainment Hour, the news show with its finger on the pulse of entertainment. I'm Lorraine Obscure-Dupont, and for those of you just joining us, today we are talking about street-level performers. Buskers, street magicians, hot dog vendors who tell jokes. These are all legitimate street-level entertainment endeavors. But joining us now in the studio is a man who plans to challenge the traditional interpretation of what it means to be a street performer. Please welcome Philip McGlass, the organizer of the Alternative Busking Festival that will be running for the next 10 days throughout the downtown. Hello, Philip.
Hello, Lorraine.
So, Philip, the Alternative Busking Festival.
Yes.
Wow.
Indeed. We're all very excited.
I'll bet.
Yes.
So, what exactly is alternative busking?
I'm so glad you asked that, Lorraine. You see, in alternative busking, we take the traditional format of busking, street performing, and infuse it with non-traditional talents and skills.
Infuse. Interesting word.
Thanks.
What does it mean?
What does infuse mean?
Yes.
Well, I guess it means to sort of mix one idea, I suppose, with another idea, making a third new and unique concept, using the best parts of both, I guess. And that's what we've done with alternative busking.
Bob, thanks. Sorry, Philip. Bob just handed me a dictionary, and I just wanted to double-check that word. You know, just to be thorough. Want to be sure we're not misunderstood by the listeners. Let's see. Incursion, infiltrate. Here we are, infuse. To imbue or inspire.
Exactly.
To introduce as if by pouring. Cause to penetrate. Well, that sounds a little aggressive, doesn't it?
Sorry, what?
It sounds very aggressive, actually. Your idea, as you so innocently call it, forcibly penetrates another idea that obviously did not want to be penetrated. It was doing just fine on its own, thank you very much.
I'm not sure what...
And then out of that unholy, unwanted union, a new idea is born, and it must live with the stigma of its violent, unwilling conception.
You know, I think you're reading a little
Mr. McGlass, are you a rapist?
What?
Are you trying to populate the arts world with your bastard rape babies?
Are you insane?
No, Wait, what time is it? Oh, whoops, sorry. Late for my medication. Hold on just one moment. Sorry, I just... There. Okay. Sorry. All right. Where were we?
You were accusing me of rape.
Oh, yeah, right. I was probably wrong about that. Sorry. Green pill, top of the hour. Missed just one and woo! Anywho, tell me about the Alternative Busking Festival. It sounds very exciting. How did you come up with the idea?
Well, as as I'm sure you're aware, traditional busking allows talented performers to interact directly with their audience while also allowing the audience to discover performances that they might not normally encounter for various reasons, such as ticket prices, venue location, showtimes, and so on. Buskers are right there on the street, and you can pause to enjoy the show if you want, for as long as you choose to, paying what you can and what you feel is fair. Well, it occurred to me that some very talented people in various other fields are being denied the same opportunity to connect with their audiences.
Ah, what other fields? Give us some examples.
Sports, for instance. We have an incredibly skilled hockey player named Casey O'Finnegan, who will be performing outside the Jefferson Avenue beer store between noon and 8 o'clock every day during the festival.
What will he be performing exactly?
Slap shots, mostly. He'll be firing pucks into the parking lot for 8 hours a day. Occasionally, he'll slam someone into the boards, but his main skill is power shots.
But won't there be cars in the parking lot? And people?
Audience interaction, Lorraine. That's what busking is all about. Oh, and he'll have a helmet lying open beside him on the sidewalk, so don't be stingy with the spare change, folks. Our alternative buskers have traveled here from all over the country, and they have to sleep in their own duffel bags. So every coin matters and is appreciated.
That seems a little dangerous, doesn't it? Shooting pucks into an active parking lot? Aren't you worried that someone will get hurt?
Nature of the game, Lorraine. In hockey, there's always a chance that someone will get hurt. But the players, and the audience, are willing to take that chance because it's a sport they love and respect.
I see.
Besides, a lot of traditional busking acts involve a very high level of risk and danger. Machete juggler, fire eater, mime.
Mime?
Mime has got to be one of the most high-risk busking acts out there. I mean, be honest, who hasn't wanted to punch a mime at one time or another?
Good point.
Yet they're still out there, day in, day out, walking against the wind, stuck in that stupid box, whatever. You've got to admire that sort of dedication, even as you slam your fist into a stupid, grease-painted face.
An excellent point. Couldn't agree with you more. So, besides hurtling pucks at random passersby, what else does the Alternative Busking Festival have in store for us?
For the more cerebral audience members, we have Nick Numbers, a brilliant street mathematician. He'll be outside Union Station throughout the Alternative Busking Festival. Just look for the large chalkboard. He'll be doing algebraic improv. People can call out letters and numbers, and he'll make formulas on the spot. Sometimes he'll even personalize them.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah, how's that for a souvenir? Your own personalized mathematical formula. Instant family heirloom.
That sounds wonderful. Tell me more. I mean, tell our listeners more.
We've got an accountancy troupe that have bussed in from Tweed, Ontario for the festival, and they'll be performing in various subway stations around the city. They'll do your taxes while you wait for your train.
Really? That sounds great.
Where else are you going to get that kind of entertainment and service combined into a single package? That's what the Alternative Busking Festival is all about, making these unique talents accessible to everyone.
That sounds wonderful.
It is. We're all very excited about starting this festival, and based on the response we've had so far, I think it will be an annual event.
That's so attractive. I mean, admirable. What you're doing with the festival, I mean.
Thank you. And we still have some spots left if anyone wants to be part of the Alternative Busking Festival. Basically, any talent or skill that people would pay for in a more formal manner, we can showcase as a street performer.
Any talent?
Pretty much, yes.
What about stripping?
What? Maybe not.
Do you think people would pay to see these?
What? Whoa, wow. No, I mean, shouldn't you? Wow. Hey, whoa, wait, what are you doing? Wow. No, wait. Is this a medication thing again?
What? No, I took the green pill, right?
Yeah, the dark green pill. So is this...
Dark green? No, silly. I was supposed to take the light green one. Here, I'll show you.
What?
Here, try one. Try two. They're really good. There. Now, come here.
Are you... What?
Who's your daddy?
Hey, And that's all the time we have on the Pulsetainment Hour today. Join us tomorrow when our guests will be, I don't know, probably scared.
You've been listening to Your Mom's a Podcast, featuring Stephanie Lynn Russell, T. Gregory Argall, and Rob Argall, with music by Stefan Kartenberg.